Spring training is well underway. We've got all of your updates, and today is our relief pitcher preview for your Brewers. Don't go anywhere. This is Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody. I'm Dominic Catronio with Vinny Rattino. Thanks for making us your first listen of the day. This is Locked On Brewers, your one-stop shop for everything Milwaukee Brewers related as we get ready to cover the 2022 season with your only daily podcast dedicated to your favorite baseball team, the Brewers. So he's a former big leaguer turned broadcaster. I am a broadcaster turned statistician. I'm still in Arizona covering camp. Vinny, you are in a very warm Milwaukee, I see. I saw it was a beautiful day back home today. But a lot to get to in Major League Baseball. The stove is burning hot right now, my friend.
Yeah, it was as hot here as the stove is. It felt like it, right? Because it got into the 60s today. So, yeah, I mean, we're spoiled. I'm looking at the highs here just to give everyone an update. This is not a Weather Channel podcast, but 55, 42, 43, those are numbers I don't like. So that's what's coming. But, hey, we got a little taste of spring. We're excited for baseball to start, and it's coming, right? The Brewers are coming. Anyway.
It's absolutely perfect here, by the way. 85 degrees, not a cloud in the sky. But spring training officially opens on Friday for the Brewers. It's actually opening today, Thursday, as you're listening to this. Cactus League and the Grapefruit League both have one game each today, and then everybody else kicks off tomorrow on Friday. But today, we're going to go through a quick little hot stove segment. But today's basis of the episode is talking about the relievers, just as good as the starting pitching core. We talked about the starters last week. If you want to go back up in your podcast feed or on YouTube, if you want to catch that episode. And then today we're talking about the relievers. And then each Thursday we'll be talking about a different position group leading us into opening day. But let's just lay things out here of what happened today. And maybe the most jaw-dropping one, Vinny, today comes from Denver. Comes from Colorado, the Rockies signing Chris Bryant to a 7-year, $182 million deal. The Rockies are the most head-scratching organization in baseball right now. I mean, good for you, Bryant, for getting the money, but the story's gone. Gray is gone. Arenado's gone. They just lost their GM. They lost their director of analytics. I don't get it at all.
It is a head scratcher. However, let's remind each other and the fans, and I want to get your take on this as well. Like, when you're rebuilding and when you're a rebuilding organization like the Rockies clearly are at this point, it's proven that it doesn't take that long to go through a little bit of a losing stretch and then turn it around, right? So you acquire a bunch of prospects. Usually they don't make a big splash in free agency like this. So this is something that's a little unprecedented with a rebuilding team. However, I think they're saying and they're thinking along the lines of, hey, this isn't going to take us that long to rebuild and to bounce back from this. They do have some interesting pieces. My goodness, the name is escaping me. The Brendan Ryan, shortstop, very talented player. And so they do have some guys that are coming and are going to be there for a little while. So maybe that's what they're thinking. But yeah, it is definitely a head scratcher. It's a little unprecedented that they would make that kind of splash.
But I mean, I look back to, and this isn't a Rockies podcast, but I just want to end it with this, is that Bryant's 30. So you've got him locked up for 7 years. You're buying, you know, the end of his prime and then, you know, his late 30s. And you paid the Cardinals $50 million to take Nolan Arenado off your hands. You let Jonathan Gray walk for nothing. You let Trevor Story walk for nothing. There is no plan. There's no plan. Why are you spending all this money on Bryant? And maybe I'm just mad that he stayed in the National League, so the Brewers got to face him. But I'm just so confused by all of this. But anyway, that's not even the only deal that happened today. I guess you can go check out Locked On Rockies if you really want to find out how they feel about all this. Jock Peterson, of course, Jocktober, as Brewers fans are certainly aware of, went 1 year, $6 million to the Giants. Zach Greinke goes back to the Royals, goes back to where it all began for him. Eddie Rosario goes back to the Braves for a 2-year contract, the NLCS MVP. Also, you've got Seiya Suzuki, who was posted from Japan. He was Japan's leading slugger, home run hitter from the last few years. He's going to Chicago, a five-year deal for Seiya Suzuki, an outfield power hitter. He played in the World Baseball Classic, played in the Olympics, 5 years, $85 million. This, wow, this jumped out at me for a Japanese hitter to get $85 million here stateside.
Yeah, that one was surprising as well. I think Godzilla.
Hideki Matsui.
Was the last successful position player, really, to, you know, slugger from Japan that really panned out, obviously, for the Yankees that I can remember. So, yeah, it's a little bit surprising. But I haven't seen the guy. So I mean, we'll see a bunch of them, right, this year. So it's exciting to see that. I do like seeing new players come over from the NPB, Nippon Professional Baseball League. But you didn't mention Schwarber. So that was an interesting deal.
Yeah. So, you want to take that one?
Yeah, $80 million, right, for 4 years. So, again, I think we kind of said that he was going to sign for the remaining part of his prime. And so I think he's going to produce. I think it's not an overpay for me. I think that's a fair deal. I think he's worth every penny because I think he's going to absolutely dominate. Just hope it's obviously not against the Brewers. So that was a good signing by the Phillies.
Yeah, so yeah, Schwarber goes to the Phillies, and then two mega trades by the Oakland A's, not including the Chris Bassett one from earlier in the week. On Tuesday, they traded Matt Olson to the Braves, got a haul of prospects back, and then the next day, the Braves signed Matt Olson to an extension for 8 years, ending the Freddie Freeman tenure in Atlanta, who was still a free agent, by the way, at the time of recording. And Matt Chapman was traded yesterday to Toronto by the Oakland A's, and they also returned four players of prospects. So the A's are tearing it down to the studs again. It was a hot, hot stove yesterday, and the A's may not be done. You know, guys like Sean Manaea, Frankie Montas, even a name like Sean Murphy, their Gold Glove catcher, and Ramon Laureano have been dangled to be available. So, I mean, they are tearing it down in the East Bay right now.
Ramon Laureano is an interesting name that could potentially, and the Brewers don't need him. There's already a logjam in the outfield. But I do, I've always liked this guy, even when he was a AAA player. He was up and down. Look, he could play center field, and this is a guy that maybe at some point, let's say something happens to Lokane, this is a kind of move that you might see Stearns and company kind of go after in the midseason, because they've been known to make those in-season acquisitions like that. So name to look out for. Also, it's interesting about the Matt Chapman deal. I'm always playing devil's advocate, like, man, that would have been nice to have Chapman, and Urias can kind of move around. Again, the roster's already a little bit set. So Chapman would be kind of a cornerstone World Series type player, in my opinion. But the Blue Jays ended up having to give up their first round draft pick from last year. And that's really the only name in that deal. So I'm trying to think about, like, okay, that would be similar to having to give up a Sal Frelick for Matt Chapman, or even a Garrett Mitchell for Matt Chapman. So I don't know if the Brewers would have been willing to go there, but that's what the Blue Jays ended up giving up.
So that's your hot stove segment of this episode, as we're getting ready to jump into the relievers. And it's worth noting, too, I mean, Freddie Freeman is still a free agent. We'll see who's going to pick him up. And Carlos Correa is still a free agent. So it's going to, and games are starting today. So, I mean, here we go. I mean, spring training is officially underway. But we got plenty more segments to talk about with hot stove eventually. But today, we're going to take a quick breather, tell you about Mission Possible. Are you ready to discover your purpose and leave an impact wherever you go? That's Mission Possible, written and read by New York Times bestselling author and, of course, athlete Tim Tebow. He encourages you to find your inspiration, pursue your purpose, and create a life for yourself that counts. Ignite a new spark in your life through this inspirational listen. Mission Possible by Tim Tebow is available everywhere audiobooks are sold. This episode is all about the relievers, Vinny, and we did our starter preview last week, and I was in the middle of a lockout still technically, but now we're doing the relievers today, and we're going to break this up into two more segments here. So we're going to start with the guys that maybe you haven't heard much about, maybe low leverage inning type guys, and the second half of this will be all about the haters and the Williams and the Cousins and those kind of guys. But, I mean, overall, the reliever unit is pretty set in stone, you would figure, right now. Is there anything that pops out at you, good, bad, ugly, about this reliever unit heading into 2022?
Yeah, what I like about it is there's all potential. All these guys have potential to throw cheese, right? So most of these guys, the low leverage guys, those guys can really bring it. JC Mejia is a guy that they brought in on a trade. They ended up giving up David Fry for him, but I do like his arm. They also have Trevor Gott. He's always been able to run it up there. They've just got a bunch of guys that can throw hard, and this has kind of been the Brewers' MO to bring in a bunch of these guys. Topa's been able to hit 100 miles an hour on the radar gun in the past. Hopefully he's back and healthy. So these guys all have a chance to get outs, right? And I'm not taking anything away from Eric Yardley and some of the other guys that were forced to kind of throw some innings last year. And I know Yardley had a great year in 2020, and he's deceptive and he's a submarine guy, but he kind of relied on command. So if his command's not there, which it wasn't last year, he's not going to be effective. So these guys all have a little bit more room for error. And Angel Perdomo is another name that jumps out at me that could really take a step. And these guys have a tendency to take a step. And these are the kinds of guys that Stearns and Matt Arnold bring in because these are good bets, right? That's essentially what they're doing, to then maybe step in and all of a sudden be a leverage guy. We saw this from Cousins last year. This guy's one of the better relievers in the big leagues last year. And he was a totally off the radar, totally a no name because he throws hard and he has a good slider. So I'll just say that's what kind of jumps out at me with this group.
So let's just go through it. Let's start with Topa, though, right off the bat. Of course, he only pitched very briefly last season, re-injured his elbow after rehabbing it for most of the year. The current update from Craig Counsell earlier this week says that he's going to continue rehabbing. He's likely to start the year on the IL. He is playing catch right now. They hopefully will have him in bullpens by the end of camp, but he is not expected to pitch in any live Cactus League games here in spring training. Hey, it's March. You know, let's talk again in June and July when the games start to really matter and ratchet up. So, you know, make sure he's healthy and get him out of camp. So Topa's probably not going to be part of the picture on opening day. You mentioned JC Mejia. And if somebody's just looking at his baseball reference page, you'd be like, why the heck did the Brewers trade for this guy? But look, he's split time as a starter and as a reliever in the minor leagues. He came up to Cleveland last year and was just overmatched. I mean, it just didn't work out for him. But there is something advanced analytic-wise, something that I would be looking for that diamond in the rough, you know, of why is this guy, why do they like about this guy? His slider has a elite whiff rate on it. He gets a ton of swings and misses on his slider, a 41% whiff rate on that slider. Wow. Opponents only hit 128 off of it. So that's something that we know about this pitching lab, and this is going to be a theme for some of these guys in this segment of, look, this pitching lab and what Hook and everybody does is saying, hey, let's pitch to your strengths. This slider could be a huge weapon for JC Mejia coming out of the bullpen if he makes the team.
Absolutely. And a point that I want to make that maybe people aren't thinking about is, and I'm not taking anything away from the Cleveland Indians organization. My goodness, they've been amazing at developing some of these pitchers, and they've been kind of pioneers in the pitching lab stuff, right? And being able to implement better pitches and better quality to the pitches and all that. So they've done a phenomenal job. Not saying that that's a factor here. I'm saying what the Brewers might be able to tap into with JC Mejia is like, hey, look, you're 25 now. You know, let's kind of throw the idea that you are a starter for now out the window, and let's just maximize your value, maximize what you do really well. So you hit the nail on the head, Dom. They're going to go ahead and tell him, let's even get a little bit more bite on that slider, a little bit more vertical or horizontal movement, and let's focus on that. Instead, as a starter, you're kind of focused on your entire repertoire, trying to really command everything. So it might not be as easy to increase that slider usage or the quality of the slider. So just keep that in mind. That's probably what we're going to see from JC Mejia. I'm just speculating. I haven't talked to anybody about this, but that's a mental thing, right? As a starter, you got to try and feel like you got to use everything and be a balanced pitcher. But now let's go ahead and get the pen, rip off some sliders and throw some heaters at, you know, 98 miles an hour.
And the other name you had mentioned earlier as far as names that maybe Brewers fans aren't super familiar with is Trevor Gott. He spent last year in AAA with the Giants. In 2020, he had a really rough go of it with the Giants at the big league level. But another guy that brings it, a sinker with some velo. It's for him, it's about control. It's about keeping it in the strike zone. He had 8 walks and 8 strikeouts. Also had 7 homers in 2020 against him in just 11 innings. If he keeps it in the zone with proper command, he could be someone that, I don't know if he breaks camp with the Brewers, but it's someone to keep an eye out for the future as far as getting righties out. If there is a flaw with this bullpen, though, it's very right-handed heavy right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you need Angel Perdomo to step up, right, as a lefty and make sure that he's throwing strikes. And, you know, I talked to Carlos Villanueva about him last year a little bit, how he's taken that step. He really kind of did take a step in AAA. I heard he's working harder, he's focused more. So hopefully that sticks for him. It takes a long time for some of these guys to figure out their bodies, especially someone as long and lanky as an Angel Perdomo. So if he figures it out, watch out. You have a diamond in the rough there. And getting back to God a little bit, there's a real dynamic move and kind of a head pull with that delivery. It wouldn't surprise me if Chris Hook wrapped his arms around this kid and reined that in a little bit.
Yeah, a little less herky-jerk motion. There is right. Some violence in that delivery. You may hear that term from scouts and from guys like you. But from as far as the lefties go, you mentioned Perdomo. Another name that, I mean, is not really on anybody's radar right now and is Hobie Milner. I mean, yeah. A funky angle. Lefties really struggled against him last year. Almost all of the damage and all of the runs against him, almost all of them came against righties. And this is where, you know, the 3 batter minimum rule really hurts a guy like Hobie because he's clearly exposed. The righties are seeing him absolutely no problem at all. It's BP. All 8 of his home runs were hit by righties last year, 0 by lefties. So a guy like him could be factor in against that situational lefty when you don't have maybe Suter available for the day or something like that. And then as for Perdomo, I mean, only 17 innings last year. He's had back issues. And with a big guy like that, you kind of hold your breath when you hear, oh, man, he's got a back issue. He seems to be ready to grip right now. But last year, lefties only were 2-for-24 against him. I mean, when he's on, this isn't even your A option. And to have him as a left-on-left, and we know how much Council loves these split matchups, to have that left-on-left availability, it's about proving, hey, if it doesn't go right against the lefty right there, you got to make sure you get the other guy out too. But the job is to get the lefty, and Perdomo and Milner could be candidates for that.
Yeah, Milner actually, you know, he impressed me with his ability just to throw strikes and command the baseball from down there. And so he's definitely an option. He's probably not going to break camp or really he'll be decent depth, right? So And he can take the ball every single day, it seems like, right? So I do actually like Hobie Milner more than, you know, people might think just because of his stuff isn't great. And then Perdomo, we just talked about it, but like if he's in the zone, he's going to be really, really good. And then that's another step up if he can then command the stuff. So we'll see where he's at. I'm actually really excited to see where he's at in spring training.
And then one last note as we switch it over to the righties, and then we'll go on to the guys that are going to be in the high leverage situations. Miguel Sanchez maybe has one of the more underrated sliders on this team. Granted, he does have a little bit of some wildness in him, 14 walks last year in 26 innings, but when that slider can be really, really, really good. I mean, there's some velo, some sink slide. It's fun to watch him when he's on.
Yeah, if you look at him and his stuff just analytically, he would not be that attractive, right? There's not a ton of swing and miss to the fastball, not a lot of deception of the fastball. But yeah, like you said, the secondary stuff is there. He's got a good slider. He's got a good changeup. And it's like he's got like a split, right? So it's not really a changeup. It's more of like a split. And he comes at you and he's attacking. He lost command a little bit. After about a month in the big leagues, I think he started overthinking stuff a little bit. I think he needs to settle in and just be that guy that's going to be in the middle. He was actually relied upon last year a couple times to throw some leverage innings. Thought the moment was a little too big for him. I think he settles in nicely as like a middle reliever, non-leverage guy, but can throw the fifth or the sixth if he needs to in a winning situation. So I really do like Miguel Sanchez as well.
So We'll move to the high leverage guys here in just a moment. First, take a quick breather, tell you about this episode being brought to you by Rock Auto, one of our favorite sponsors here. I've used them personally myself. There's so many numbers of makes and models these days. It's impossible for your local chain store to have everything your car could need. That's where Rock Auto comes in. You could endure pointless questioning and almost kind of like an interrogation when you're sitting behind the counter listening to the guy or gal talk on the computer saying, well, we don't have it in stock, we don't have this. Just go to Rock Auto. They can take care of it for yourself. They've been serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They're a family business, reliably low prices, and you can save time and money by using their easy-to-use, great website to find your solution today. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And also, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so you know that Vinny and Dom sent you, okay? Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Josh Hader is going to close out this episode. I promise we're going to get to Josh Hader. But let's just go through the high leverage guys, 6, 7, 8, 9. And the first guy, and he's a friend of the pod. He's so much fun. And there's a great article. I'm going to link in the show notes here if you want to click in the description. Brent Suter, man. You and I are, you know, we're next generation, next stats, you know, analytics type guys.
Yeah.
No one can figure out Brent Suter, and I love that about him. He is the unicorn of unicorn lefties.
I love Brent Suter. I faced him in 2000. I'll just say this. Not about, you know, I rarely talk about my playing career because there's not a lot to talk about. I hit 134 or something crazy on my back.
You hit 134 in the show, though, bro. You hit 134 in the show.
Three bombs. Hello. Okay.
Yes.
So Brent Suter faced him in 2016 in spring training at Maryvale. I was with the White Sox in AAA. He was with the Brewers in AAA. And I'm like, great. I'm going to get a hit today because it's a lefty and I hit lefties. And this dude was throwing like 86. And you get up there and face the guy, and it looks like 106, okay? It's super deceptive. Looks like he's placing the ball into the catcher's mitt. It looks like, because he's so far down the hill. He works so quick. He's got a little funk to the quality of the fastball. It's a little cut, little rise to it. He jammed me like twice. Ended up getting a hit off him, whatever. But like, it's super deceptive. Love him. He's one of those guys where you're playing behind him and you're like, yes, Brent is on the mound. This is gonna be a quick inning. We can get back into the dugout. He works so fast. It's I've seen some of the ugliest swings from some of the best hitters on the planet against Brent Suter. That's all I'll say. I love him.
It's so much fun. The analytics are certainly, you know, head scratching, but there's a great article I've linked in the show notes by Ben Clemens on FanGraphs. On FanGraphs, it explains everything you need to know about Brent Suter, and we love him because he speaks his mind. He wears his heart on his sleeve out there, and you know he's a guy that quietly has been that swing man. He's started games. He's gone multiple innings. He gets one lefty out. He is the Swiss Army knife of this bullpen, and can really be the bridge to get from the sixth inning danger to your main guys in the 7, 8, 9. It's a dirty roll. It's a hard roll. He's the vulture by stealing all these wins, but he's also the raptor. And everybody needs that kind of guy, that mop up guy on your team, and it's Suter for the Brewers.
Yeah, and he's like a it's weird because you're right. It's kind of a mop up in leverage situations. he's an interesting study, really. I love him. I'm glad he's a Brewer. I think they should extend him.
I love that. So as for a few more guys, as we get into the high leverage stuff now, Brad Boxberger, we talked a lot about Brad the other day when he was announced to return to the Brewers on a contract. And also, we have the contract details of that now. And if you want to go back and listen to that episode, you know, I encourage you, obviously, if you're not subscribed already, go ahead and subscribe to us on wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube as well. But Boxberger, there's incentives laid into this. He can pitch the seventh. He can be your emergency game finish type guy. There's also an option at the end of this contract too. I mean, 71 games last year, career high for him. He led the team in appearances last year. There's not much else we can say about him that we didn't say in the episode that he re-signed. Is there anything you need to add about Brad Boxberger?
Not too much I need to add. Yeah, definitely listen to that episode. We kind of detail what he kind of, the adjustment that he made last year. He started throwing harder than he has since like 2013. So watch that and just continue to watch, you know, where he's at in terms of velo. If his velo's in that 92, 95 range, he's going to be absolutely lights out like he was last year.
And also just the terms on the contract here while we're on the subject. 1 year with a team option, it's $2.5 million for 2022. He can earn up to another $500,000, $550,000, sorry, in incentives. And then the club option goes in for 2023, and that buyout is for $750,000. Otherwise, he's owed $3 million next year. So, I mean, it's for what some relievers have been getting on the market, it's pretty crazy. Yeah. So, good for the Brewers to get him back. Another guy that popped up on the scene late, we've already mentioned his name, Jake Cousins. He could be the seventh inning when Brad is down. He could be the eighth inning when Devin is down. This dude came out of nowhere, independent ball signing, great story out of Penn. He's smarter than you and I, and he just came out and shoved with just two pitches, fastball slider. Try to hit me, and nobody could. It was so much fun to watch a great story come up. He struck out his first 16 outs. 11 of his first 16 outs in the big leagues were strikeouts. That is so hard to do. That's unicorn. That's just ridiculous stuff. And he's going to be your seventh inning, maybe eighth inning if these guys aren't available. He's not even your A-team option. He's your leverage guy. This is awesome.
It is, and you were waiting to see second time around through the league whether or not he would continue to have success, and he did. Obviously not as to the level that when he first, you know, his first 16 outs, you know, whatever you just said, it's totally amazing. Because you're just waiting to see what would happen, and he continued to have success. 61% slider guy, right? So that's you'll probably see similar usage, 61% slider, 38% fastball. No other secondary pitch. And so I think you'll probably watch him make a couple of adjustments, maybe throw a little bit more fastball when he needs to, or when Narvaez or Severino starts to feel like the hitter is totally sitting on that slider. But even when they were sitting on that slider, it was kind of still unhittable. So he can get lefties out with it. He can get obviously righties out with it. So he's a really good addition to the back end of this pen.
Also, with Cousins, he can be your fireman. I know there's a three batter minimum, but if Brad or somebody runs into trouble in a seventh or eighth inning, you still have this guy that can come in and clean it up to keep things on track for somebody like Hader or Williams to come in after him. He keeps things between the line. He keeps things, you know, on track and on script. Even if you can't script exactly baseball, but it's the best. It's a role that, again, like Suter trying to get it to the 7-8-9 guys. Cousins keeps it in the 7-8-9 guys, which is so important because we know Hader's probably not going to go more than an inning. Like he didn't do it at all last season. So, and Williams isn't going to go more than an inning. So having a guy like that to close out a frame goes a long way in the season long race.
Where you have, that's a really good point. So you don't have to have all these guys fresh in order to close out a game. Obviously, even Devin Williams, you have to kind of monitor his usage, right? I doubt they will push him to 3 days in a row. I don't think they did that at all last year, maybe once. So, you know, Hader obviously can go three in a row. He did that a bunch. But you got the ideal situation when everyone's rested. You have Boxberg in the seventh, Williams eighth, Hader ninth. But then, like I just said and what you just said, Cousins can step in the eighth. You got Boxberger that can step in the eighth or the ninth. You got Suter that can throw the eighth, and he has, and he's even closed out a game. You also have Miguel Sanchez that we just talked about, might throw some leverage innings. And so, I think they're in a really good spot as far as these leverage guys. They're interchangeable.
Before we get to Williams and Hader real quick, a little bit, again, peek behind the curtain from the other night where we had a trade happen after the show ended. Right now, there's live negotiations happening of the Dodgers and Freddie Freeman, the worst-kept secret right now, that Freeman's probably going to be a Dodger. Deep in talks, according to John Morosi of MLB Network, and the contract could exceed $150 million. Keep in mind, Matt Olson signed for $168 million over 8 years. So this could get really interesting. Maybe he'll already have signed by the time you're listening to this, but this is live as of 10:20 p.m. Milwaukee time. You know, live negotiations are happening. So, whoa, oh boy.
Yeah, that's not a good sign, obviously, for the, you know, the Dodger haters out there, which I'm not necessarily a Dodger hater. I respect respect what they're doing out there. I just don't, I don't want to see Freddie Freeman go over there. They're gonna be really, really good again.
Yeah. So on to the last two guys, Devin Williams and Josh Hader, your setup man and your closer. We're not here to talk about what happened at the end of last year with Devin. We're not here to talk about the home run that Freddie Freeman hit off of Josh Hader in the playoffs. We're talking about moving on to 2022. And yesterday, Wednesday, I saw Devin Williams throw a side session and a live BP down here in Phoenix at camp. And he's tinkering with a slider-cutter combo. You talk about guys sitting in that bullpen and learning from Devin about their changeup, and he's tinkering with the starters about their cutters and sliders. It's scary when the best get better, because watching that cutter and watching that slider in live beeps, and he's still working on it. It's not a perfect pitch yet. But if he clicks that in and has that third option, oh my goodness. I mean, it looked like a front door Corbin Burns cutter when I was watching him throw his side session. And he threw a wipeout slider to Pedro Severino in live BP and made him look silly on it. I tweeted a video of it. It's scary when the best get better. We can sit here and talk about Devin Williams' changeup all day, but he is evolving. The velo is there. His hand looks healthy. Holy cow. I mean, the riches that the Brewers have in the back end of the bullpen is without compare.
Talk about a guy that kind of came out of nowhere, right? He did that in 2020, was reliever of the year, backed it up with 2021 season that was out of this world as well. Now all of a sudden you're telling me that he's developing another pitch. And the velo's there, right? And so Will Salmon kind of reported after he interviewed him that he's actually got a lot of strength in that hand. So that's only going to help him. That's going to help him throw harder. Believe it or not, hand strength and grip strength is like a huge deal for velocity. It's a huge indicator for velocity. So if his hand is stronger and he's all of a sudden throwing harder, and then he's got a cutter slider to go with it, with that best changeup I've ever seen in my entire life.
Oh, hands down for me too.
Then watch out. So that's really impressive.
And it was funny sitting behind the cage today on the backfields, and Hunter Renfroe and Pedro Severino were in this group for live BP, as well as Christian Yelich and Colton Wong and Andrew McCutchen. And they're all chatting, and I can hear him. I mean, I'm 10 yards away from him. And Renfroe, he looked silly on a changeup from Williams earlier in the live BP. And everyone looked at him like, have you not faced him before? And then you remember, 2020, you only faced divisional opponents. Last year, the Brewers did not face the Rays, so he's never seen him. Severino's with the Orioles, didn't face the Orioles last year, obviously division only in 2020. Both those guys had never seen Williams, and their jaws were on the floor practically. They were flabbergasted at seeing it in person for the first time. And when you have that reaction from your teammate, and especially from your backup catcher, it's, oh man, that's when you know you got something special. It was a really cool moment.
It's essentially like a nasty left-handed slider is that changeup, and the arm speed on it. That it was a left-handed slider.
Yeah,
amazing. Yeah, and by the way, keep that footage coming on Twitter, Dom. We're all enjoying it. It's our little tease into what spring training is going to bring us. So keep that stuff coming.
I appreciate you. So let's talk about Josh Hader. I mean, what else is there to say about Josh Hader? He's the best closer in baseball. Don't come at me, White Sox fans, with saying Liam Hendricks is. No, it's Josh Hader. Reminder, Hader has 96 career saves. He'll hit number 100 this year. He has finished 121 games in his career. So finishing 121, not all of those are save situations, but he is always coming in to close things out. He's a three-time All-Star. He's finished in the top 10 in Cy Young voting before. And just looking at his numbers from last year, we took him for granted. The media took him for granted. He had 102 strikeouts in 58 innings. 102 in 58. And I compare it to our friends at Locked On Bucks with Kane Pittman. There is MVP voter fatigue right now with Giannis. There is, closer fatigue with Josh Hader, because Brewers fans are absolutely spoiled to realize most teams don't have a 90-95% save rate. And you have that. You've had that for the last 3 years. This guy is a freak, and enjoy it. I don't know what else to say about Josh Hader.
We're watching history is what we're doing. And he's only 27. I'm not sure when he turns 28, but whatever. It doesn't matter because, there's such a loose, whippy. And you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of Jacob deGrom from the left side. In terms
body type-wise?
Yeah, body type wise, and the amount of velocity that he gets from that long, lanky Those long, lanky levers getting through the baseball, just a tremendous ability to get through the baseball. Then you're talking about the deception to the fastball. You're talking about the deception to the delivery. Now, he closes all the way off and then steps towards left-handed batters. And so there's a huge angle that right-handed hitters have to contend with. There's obviously that fear that left-handed hitters have to contend with and not seeing the ball, and then it's on you, and then it's 100 miles an hour, and then there's a jump at the plate with the deceptive quality of the fastball. But look at this. In slugging percentage, ex-slugging percentage, 100th percentile, so best in baseball at strikeout percentage, best in baseball at xERA, 95 percentile hard hit percentage, ex-WOBA, 99 percentile. I mean, the dude is a freak. 100 percentile in whiff percentage. So he's the best in baseball at a lot of stuff. And the game is over after the eighth if the Brewers are winning.
It's not fair. I mean, he's the fastest ever to 400 strikeouts. He did that last season. He's thrown 282 innings. He's got 482 career strikeouts. I mean, he's going to hit 500 strikeouts in less than 300 innings this season. That's amazing. Enjoy it, man. It's just sit back and enjoy it. I know, look, you're coming. I'm an Oakland A's. I work for the Oakland A's, okay? I've been with the A's since 06, you know, thanks to Dad. I know the dread, the feeling, oh, we're going to trade him. Oh, he's going to walk away. Like, but enjoy it, man. Enjoy it. Don't let that dread creep up in the back of your mind. Look, he's going to be the highest paid reliever ever in arbitration this coming year. He's the best closer in baseball. He deserves every penny sent to him. A 1.23 ERA last year, 34 saves. I just don't know what else to say about him. He's the best closer in baseball. I'm just going to go incredulous. I can spend an hour talking about amazing Josh Hader stats, but you hit it on the head. He's the best in baseball. The stats prove it. The advanced metrics prove it. And just watching him proves it. He's the best.
He had one mistake last year, essentially, and it was hit by Jose Peraza, the most unlikely of heroes
in the regular season.
In the regular season. You're right. Jose Peraza just clicked on a home run, totally cheated on a fastball, and took him deep. But, yeah, I mean, you just don't see this kind of production and this kind of reliability from closers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see these guys that even really good closers just kind of struggle from time to time, and you just haven't seen that from Josh Hader. It's unprecedented.
And not to take a cheap shot or a drive-by, but it's just Freddie Freeman is the only left-handed hitter ever to hit multiple homers off of Josh Hader. He dominates lefties, and Freddie Freeman's a generational talent. You know, your best versus their best.
Agreed.
And it is what it is, but he is still, in my opinion, the best closer in baseball, and it's going to be fun to watch. We can sit here. We got to cut it, man. We got to cut it. Yeah, we're going to keep talking about Josh Hader. This was the reliever preview, and you know, we said earlier in the first segment of the Hot Stove segment, oh, Freddie Freeman is still a free agent. Well, I mean, by the time you're listening to this, he's probably not going to be a free agent. This is live radio, you know, as of 10:29 Milwaukee time. It's now somewhere in the $160 million range for Freddie Freeman, according to Ken Rosenthal. So maybe by the time you wake up and listen to this, he'll be a Dodger. So we'll see what happens. But tomorrow, it is the opening day of spring training for the Brewers. We will have a full spring training preview for you tomorrow. It's just so good to have baseball back. I was in the clubhouse yesterday, and you know, as a media member, and it's just like, we're there. We're almost there. Brewers-Dodgers tomorrow at 3:05 Central Time, and baseball's here, man. We didn't think so. It got bleak, but baseball's here.
Can't wait. We'll see you guys tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to covering baseball myself and just watching the boys play again. It's always fun.
Yes, sir. All right. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.